Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 189, dedicated to a man who won April 12th, 1858, won the very first U.S. Billiards Championship, Mr. Michael J. Phelan. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we talk a little bit about Draymond Green, something he said on Kevin Durant's podcast. The past week and a half of sports surely felt normal. And then I got a notification on my phone that left me shocked after I read what was on the screen. But first, replay. Instant replay. It was brought into the game to assist or aid the official, maybe a referee or an umpire, to help them make sure that the call on the field was correct. But too many times, we're watching a game, doesn't really matter the sport anymore, the call is not correct before the play goes under review, and the call is still incorrect after the review is over. I am so confused as to what replay officials look at sometimes. I mean, the sport and the subject of today is baseball, but it doesn't matter if it's football, if it's basketball, if it's tennis. Too many times, the play goes under review and the official gets the call wrong. And it sure seems like it's plain as day to our naked eye at home, either after once slow-mo replay is put into play, or surely when it's live game action, it surely seems like you don't waver on anything you see. You see something, the masses see something, and the official sees something completely different. Maybe it is the slow motion, and it confuses them. Maybe it's another set of eyes that see something completely different. I am not sure, but too many times a replay official gets the call wrong, and I'm left wondering, is the game better with replay? Or should we go back to the days when replay is not a factor in the games that we watch? The sport and the scene of the day, it's baseball. Braves are at home, Braves versus Phillies, top of the ninth, 6-6. There's a runner on third, and I believe there's a runner on second base as well. Pitch is thrown, pop up to left field. The left fielder catches the ball. Alec Bohm on third base runs home. Tags up. He runs home. The left fielder throws the ball home, trying to get the guy out, trying to gun him out. It's a two-hopper. The catcher gets the ball. Does a good job of shielding and blocking the plate. Alec Bohm goes around the catcher. The catcher tags first the runner, Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm never touches home plate. And what do we hear next? The umpire say safe. Now, I did not watch this game live. I was doing something else on Sunday evening. But then the next thing I know, I'm on the Twitter around the time when this play goes down, and people are going crazy. They have lost their minds. Just figuratively, not literally, but figuratively. They have lost their minds. How do you miss that call? You got five replays, and I've read some articles after this. You got five replays, and among the five replays, surely, one of the five will help you see what it is that is going on here, and will help you get the call right in real time or in slow-mo replay. You surely hope that the official that is ruling this play would get the call right. But ultimately, this is the quote that the replay official said in regards to this play as to why they left the play on the field, on the diamond, as the last final word. They didn't change the call. Safe. Final score of this game, 7-6. Phillies lose and the Braves are mad. Oh, I got to go back. Here's what the replay official said. Word for word quote about this ruling. Quote, could not definitively determine that the runner failed to touch home plate prior to the fielder applying the tag. End quote. That's all I'm going to say. You go on the Twitter, you go on the YouTube, you go search and find out what it is that was going on. Find that play, I'm sure it won't be hard for you to find. And you tell me, tweet at me at jstevens07, send a DM at jstevens07 on Twitter, or email me, jstevens317@gmail.com. Let's have a fun back and forth with this play here, because I'm confused. What I saw, he was out. What the Braves saw, he was out. I'm sure what the Phillies saw, he was out as well. And Alec Bowman, he got up. He seemed a little surprised as to the final outcome, but also happy because it was in his favor. Replay is there to help us, not hurt us, but it surely seems like too many times replay does not help in the ways that it is supposed to. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Brooklyn, because on this particular episode of Kevin Durant's podcast, Draymond Green was the guest, and Draymond said a couple things that might make you agree with what he said. But first, check this out. Support for this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for my listeners. 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code OTBN at manscaped.com. Once again, that is 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code OTBN at manscaped.com. One thing I love to do with NBA players is to sit back, relax, and tune in whenever the old heads, the OGs, or the vets start talking, because they've been around a while. They played numerous games. Some of them have won championships or made deep playoff runs. So they have seen a lot of basketball, played a lot of basketball, and they have seen the youngsters come up, and they have a sense about how the youngsters play the basketball. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant were on KD's The Etc. podcast, and man, when those two start talking, didn't take long, about 5 minutes in, I heard one of them say, Draymond Green that is, say today's players are soft, said there is a lack of competitiveness in today's NBA, and here I am, sitting back, relaxing, and enjoying this conversation saying, hey y'all, let's prolong this topic, because I am intrigued by what you two have to say. Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, I like both players. I really do. I like Draymond Green. I like how he plays defense. I like how he is a piece of the puzzle on offense. I like how you can't really say that he does not help Steph be all Steph Curry is on the basketball court. Kevin Durant recently got into it with Michael Rapaport. Surprised I said his name correctly. The first time I tried to say it, you get all those P's, all those syllables, all those pa-pa-pa-pa-pa's in together, and man, your boy might struggle getting that name out. But Michael Rapaport, Kevin Durant, had a little back and forth, a little conversation, discussion, got a little heated via the DMs of Michael Rapaport there on the IG. Michael Rapaport, I'm going to stop saying his name right there, put the conversation there on Instagram, put KD on Front Street. Lo and behold, what happened? KD got fined $50,000 for the conversation. And Mr. Michael, like I said, I'm not going to say his last name anymore, went on FS1 and, well, he is an actor and he started acting. But Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, like I said, I had no idea KD had a podcast at all. I like podcasts. I know JJ Redick has a podcast. I know Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes have a podcast. I know Quinn Richardson and Darius Miles, two guys that I liked watching play basketball when I was younger. They were on bad basketball teams. You know what? Quinn Richardson, real side note, Quinn Richardson on the Suns team, I know it was him, Steve Nash, Leandro Barbosa. I don't think Boris Diaw was on that squad, but they had a squad there in Phoenix. I know Amari Stoudemire was on the team, and I want to say Mike D'Antoni may have been the coach. But man, they had a squad, and it surely seemed like that was a good fit for Q Rich. I mean, all he had to do was just run and shoot threes. Man, that's right up his alley. But Quinn Richardson and Darius Miles, they have their own podcast. There's other NBA players that have podcasts or they're on podcasts frequently or they're on shows. I don't think anybody does an Aaron Rodgers thing where A-Rod was on the Pat McAfee show every Tuesday during the NFL season. I don't think any basketball player does that on a consistent basis. I know LeBron has his thing. Richard Jefferson was on one for a little bit while he was playing. I know basketball players like to talk. And so when you got to tell me, and I found this out on the Twitter, when I recently found out that Draymond Green was on KD's podcast. I mean, come on now, sign me up. I am here for this. I am here for this conversation. I am here for these two to just talk about things. They even went back to some things that happened there in Golden State the very last year, saying both of them were confused or baffled when Steve Kerr and even David West were talking about how things were odd or off the last year that KD was there in Golden State. And Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, they were both wondering, what are y'all talking about? I'm confused. And Draymond Green, now this conversation comes after the one we're going to discuss here in a second. Draymond Green went to his mom and his mom asked what was going on. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what y'all talking about. Was there something that happened in the locker room or with the team that you didn't tell me? You know, players and their mamas, they got a nice, tight connection. Well, even Draymond Green's mom had no idea what was going on, and Draymond Green reiterated that, and he brought his mom into the picture. But when you get OGs, I call them OGs, they're old guys now, 32 years old, Kevin Durant, 31 years old, Draymond Green, KD has been in the league, this may blow your mind, for 14 years. 14 years Kevin Durant has been in the NBA, 14 to 13, forgive me, but it's been a very long time. But also, you have Draymond Green, who has been in the league for 9 years. So 14 years for one, 9 years for the other. And we have a situation where these two guys have crossed from being the youngsters to being the old guys, the big men on campus, you may be able to say, figuratively. And when they talk, a lot of people listen. Draymond Green, he called today's player soft. Draymond Green, what else did he do? He said there's a lack of competitiveness in today's NBA. But when you look a little bit deeper, a little bit go past the surface of this topic or this conversation that these two gentlemen had, the lack of competitiveness, I have seen that firsthand. I have witnessed that. It could be why NBA ratings continue to decline. You could say, Jay, it's because you get the same teams in the NBA Finals every single year. I don't think so. I think it's deeper than that. Because if you brought back the toughness of the 90s or what we saw in the early 2000s, I think NBA ratings will be up. I know if you bring the 80s back, because there's a lot of talent in the 80s that not many people talk about. If you bring the 80s into today's game with Twitter, with Instagram, with every clip, every highlight being shown on social media literally a few seconds after it was performed, trust me, the ratings will be high. So if you're a person that says ratings are down or were down and your reason is because the finals match up, or you know, before the season, who is going to be in the finals, that's not a good case for what's going on right now with today's ratings. It's possibly because the competitiveness. College football. Many people know who is going to be in the playoff at the end of every season. And every Saturday is an event. Ohio State, Alabama, your Auburn, your Oklahoma, your Texas, your USC, your Oregon, all those schools out west, all those schools in the east, the north, and the south. Every Saturday is important. Tuesday, Wednesday, Maction, trust me, there are people that don't watch many football games throughout the week at all. You may say that they devote Saturdays to football only, but it's old school days. But all of a sudden now, when you got Maction every single day, people tune in. They may not care one lick about the schools that are playing, but when you say there's football being played every single day of the week, they tune in. But now you've got a lack of competitiveness that Draymond Green is saying, and I've seen that for a while. This isn't like the first time this conversation should have come up. I have seen that for a while. You know what else I have seen? Soft play in the NBA. You know who I have seen have soft play? Draymond Green. You know who I have seen have soft play? Numerous stars in the NBA. All this flopping, all this, you hit me, and you got to flop a little bit. Get out of here with that nonsense. Get out of here. This is your professional athletes, professional basketball players. Don't say we're trying to get the upper hand and just have the referee on our side. Forget that nonsense. No. Y'all say today's players, yes, today's players are very skilled. There's a lot of skill in today's NBA. But take that stuff somewhere else, because you're going to take that same thing to the playground. That ain't going to fly on the playground. In today's NBA players, they know that. Let these boys try and take this flopping. Draymond Green flops a little bit as well. I'm being delicate. Draymond Green flops a little bit as well. Let Draymond take that flopping to Rucker Park. That ain't going to fly. That ain't going to fly at all. They're going to have mad respect for him as being an NBA player. But they ain't going to let that flopping stuff fly. Nah. They're going to call that out real quick. Draymond Green said today's players are soft. Yes, but that can go back decades and decades and decades. Why? Because in society, go back to the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. You can go back to 1900, 1910s, 1920s. If you're from that generation, say 1920s, and you were able to look into the future to see how things are going to be in 1980, you're going to say, ooh, they got it, man. They got it good. They're a little soft. They're not walking like I am, and they don't have to work the same jobs that I am. And if you're in 1980 and you go from 1980 all the way up to 2010, you're able to look into the future, you're just like, hold on. They're living like that? They got Wi-Fi? What is Wi-Fi? They got Bluetooth? Yeah, 2010, they have Bluetooth. You mean they have a cord in their car that they can plug from their car to their phone? And hold on, this isn't a car phone. This is a cellular phone? What is this? And this is the things that are happening. When you go from one generation to the next generation, a lot of times, society-wise, you could look back on the youngsters not that far behind you and say, yeah, they're a little soft. And you know what's crazy? Draymond Green, if he were to talk to Charles Barkley or Kenny Smith or Michael Jordan, if Michael Jordan were to talk in a podcast like this with one of today's NBA players or so many other athletes, Kevin Garnett, so many other athletes, they're going to probably say, hey, man, y'all kind of soft. Let's just be honest now. Y'all kind of soft. So Draymond saying that today's players are soft, I get it. I understand it. Saying there's a lack of competitiveness, I get it. I understand it. But it didn't start now. This has been a progression that's been going on for a while. Freedom of motion, freedom of movement on the court does kind of breed maybe a lack of competitiveness somewhat. Not to a degree, because you can still be competitive and follow today's rules in the NBA and do it consistently and really raise your level of how competitive you want to be every single night. But when Draymond Green calls somebody soft, I can't say I can go against or I disagree with him saying a lot of today's players are soft. But sometimes, you gotta look at yourself. And look at yourself and say, am I a part of the soft crowd? I don't want to be a part of that crowd. But if I am, maybe I gotta change my ways, because that's not a crowd that I want to be a part of. Okay, we're going to change things up just a tad. I don't think I've done this ever in the history of this podcast, and this is episode 189. We're going to change the order. This is the last segment that I mentioned earlier. That's going to be segment 3. Segment 4 was previously segment number 3. Monday afternoon, I forget exactly what time before hitting record here on the podcast, and I'm playing NCAA Football 14. I look down at my phone, get a buzz, and normally when I'm playing the game, I don't know, I kind of deviate or go away from the screen. I try to focus, got a podcast playing as well. It's a little podcast for my ears. The eyes are on the TV screen. It's a good day. But then all of a sudden, I get a little notification, and it says, let me read this to you word for word. I saved it, actually, because I was a little surprised when I read it. The title, Patriots Cut. Those are the first two words, and I said, hold on. Why would you alert if the Patriots cut somebody right now? Because a lot of the guys on the Patriots, not guys that I would really say are noteworthy about. If they get cut, I need an alert on my phone. But Patriots cut Julian Edelman. Like, hold on. Why in the world would they cut Julian Edelman? He's been with the Patriots for a very long time. A converted quarterback that my guy Jeff Hunt tweeted on Twitter shortly after this announcement came out. And I said, oh, yeah, he was a converted quarterback. Quarterback at Kent State as well. Could you imagine Julian Edelman at his height playing quarterback in the National Football League? I mean, it's possible. I'm not going to say it's not. I mean, it's possible. But man, that'd be a tough task for him. But here's the rest of the notification. This came via Bleacher Report. Veteran wide receiver's contract with New England has been terminated due to a failed physical. I don't know what's going on with Julian Edelman. I have no idea the medicals of him and his body and just him playing from 1 year to the next to the next. I did not think at this time he would be cut because he failed a physical. Surely hope everything is okay, and I'm sure things are okay with him, but it's good for the Patriots that they're putting the medical and the health of Mr. Edelman at the top and not things that are at the bottom, because he can help them win football games in the fall. But the Patriots cut Julian Edelman. I had a text to one of my friends shortly after this came out. I actually shared with them a screenshot that I just read off to you because they're a big Patriots fan. This, my friend Jessica literally loves Julian Edelman. I make jokes and comments all the time, and she laughs and she agrees because that's her man. But she hit me with something that, well not really surprised at a comp when it this situation, if you're a Patriots fan, you're a little surprised. She hit me with that WTF. And I'm like, hey, I know. I laughed because I messed with her about Julian Edelman, but now her man, her baby, sometimes she may call him that. I'm like, that ain't your baby, man. No, you got a man at home. Julian Edelman ain't all that, but Julian Edelman is no longer on the Patriots. About an hour later, and I did wait a little bit because I wanted to see what else came out about the situation before recording this here podcast. It did come out that Julian Edelman has retired from the National Football League. Before the announcement came down that Julian Edelman was going to retire from the National Football League, people started talking about Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame. Can we stop real quick with this Hall of Fame nonsense? The Hall of Fame of the NFL, if I'm trying to rank the Hall of Fame that is the hardest to get into to the easiest to get into, Major League Baseball is easily, hands down, I don't think it's going to move its spot as being the hardest Hall of Fame to get into. And then you have the NFL, and then you have the NBA. The problem with the NFL is they have so many guys that deserve to go in. They can only let so many guys go in every single year, and that's where you get guys like Reggie Wayne, who is not in yet, but he is a Hall of Famer. I think Edgerrin James had to wait a little bit. He should have gone in sooner than he did. You had guys like Peyton Manning, first ballot. Tom Brady, when he retires, first ballot. And you have those Aaron Rodgers, when he retires, first ballot. Drew Brees, first ballot. I mean, you have those guys that are first ballot Hall of Famers with the NFL right there in the middle. And then you have the NBA. And I lay it out like that on purpose this way. If Julian Edelman played in the NBA, he would be in the Hall of Fame. No questions asked. People would be saying he's not a Hall of Famer, but because it's the NBA and they let everybody in, he's going to get in. You want to know why I say that they let everybody in? Vlade Divac. Divac, whatever you want to say his last name, however you say it. He is in the Hall of Fame. Now, granted, he did a lot overseas, but he is in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame overseas and played in the NBA. Yao Ming is in the Hall of Fame. He was very important and impactful to the Chinese when he played in the NBA. But if you're going just based off of what we saw from Yao Ming in the NBA, he's not a Hall of Famer. Never thought he was. Didn't think he would be in. But Yao Ming is in the NBA Hall of Fame. I don't believe at all Vlade Divac or Yao Ming would get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at all. Why? They don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They don't. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. If you're from China or if you're from Vlade Divac's home country, and I forget where that is, you may be saying, well, Jay, they did some things overseas that were great. Okay, I understand it. Once again, I never thought Yao Ming was a Hall of Famer, and Vlade Divac, I'm too young to know what he did when he played overseas. I think about an overseas big man that killed, Arvydas Sabonis is that guy. I mean, you couldn't do nothing with Arvydas Sabonis. Now, he has some knee injuries, came to the NBA, was not the player that he was when he played overseas. But Arvydas Sabonis, my goodness. Go watch some of that tape. Go watch it. You will see. That man, I'm going to say that brother, he is not black. But that man, oh my, he was a problem in the block. And then, for sure, if Julian Edelman played baseball, he ain't getting, no. They would laugh. They would, them baseball writers, they would laugh if you started having this conversation about Julian Edelman getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame, getting into Cooperstown. Don't know the technical or the proper name for their Hall of Fame, but he ain't getting in. But can we stop, y'all? Please, please. Julian Edelman, a good football player. Is he a great football player? No. Did he have an impact on Patriots playoff runs and Super Bowls? Yes. But does impact alone on a game or on a team help you get into the Hall of Fame? Not at all. If you say he is Tom Brady's go-to receiver, does that make you the candidate or the ideal candidate to be in the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio? No. So let me think about this very quickly. You had Aaron Hernandez, you had Rob Gronkowski, you had Julian Edelman, now you had Wes Welker for a little bit. Gronkowski was, most of the time, Brady's favorite target. If Aaron Hernandez never did what he did, stayed in the NFL, and that story, that situation happened with him, murdering that individual, suicide in jail, if all that never happened, and he was a clean-cut, good guy, or maybe rough around the edges, but not as rough as he was, and he came on and he played for the Patriots, something tells me he would have been a big piece and would have been very impactful in the passing game of the New England Patriots, and Tom Brady would have thrown the ball to Mr. Aaron Hernandez as well. Edelman, good player. I don't want to say I like Edelman. I mean, he did play for the enemy. Colts fan here talking to you. So I can't really say that I can go out in there and say that Edelman is one of my favorite guys out there, favorite receivers, etc., etc., etc. I will acknowledge good talent. I will acknowledge a guy that has made numerous plays throughout his, I think, 12-year career. But Julian Edelman, Hall of Fame, I was shocked when I saw the notification. But also, can we please stop? Just stop with the Hall of Fame talk. This started before the man even retired. Not Hall of Famer. Never has been. He may get in the 30, 40 years, he might get in. But no. Those guys, when you look back, they're 60 years old and they get in the Hall of Fame. They deserve it to a degree. Julian Edelman? Nah. Not at all. Not at all. Oh, by the way, part of the reason I wanted to make this a little bit longer of a segment, Colin Cowherd had this to say about Julian Edelman. Quote, if there was a pound for pound toughest dude in the NFL, Edelman was it. Great career and earned every yard. End quote. Okay, he had a great career. He earned every yard. I get it. But I got guys I can think of right now that deserve that award and they're better football players than Julian Edelman. The first one, the one that I tweeted out, quote tweeted Mr. Colin Cowherd, Troy Polamalu. And I'll leave it at that. Troy Polamalu, Julian Edelman, pound for pound, toughest dude in the NFL. One lined up in the B gap at times. The other was a wide receiver lining up by the sidelines. Guys, let's continue roll on with the rest of today's podcast. This has been fun, a lot of fun. Going from Edelman, a retiree, a guy that was cut due to failing a physical, to a week and a half that surely felt normal. I have been waiting for this for a very long time. From the time that live sports were suspended or canceled, halted, whatever word you want to utilize to describe that period in sports, I have been waiting for something that was a sequence of one sport to the next that felt normal. The NFL season, that felt good. But shortly after the NFL season being over, Super Bowl being played, is the NBA All-Star Game. That was not played until maybe a few weeks after its normal scheduled date. That wasn't normal. College football, the sequence from college football national championship to the NFL, that was there. Yeah, that was there. But mind you, the NBA season just started. So I'm hearing NBA basketball, beginning of the season, and then I got college football. I'm all in college football mode at that time. And then the NFL. So once again, the sequence of events felt a little odd. But when you get the NCAA tournament playing, NC2A tournament, the men's and the women's, you got Paige Beckers for UConn and the UConn Huskies losing in the Final Four. And then you have the men's Final Four. But you remember Jalen Suggs that shot Johnny Juzang, Hami Hakez, those the UCLA Bruins and how they played, going from playing in the play-in game, getting themselves to a Final Four. No Cinderella story, that at all. Forget that, no. When you get that UCLA on the chest, the Cinderella stories, that's not a part of the conversation. But man, you had that. The Final Four felt good. And it was in my home area. I didn't go to any games. I planned on it. But when I bought the ticket, for some odd reason, the ticket and that transaction did not go through. But here we are now, guys. Final Four weekend felt good. You had the women playing on that Friday. The second. On the third, I had to get my calendar out. On the third, you had the men's Final Four. You had UConn. You had Gonzaga. You had Baylor. And why am I forgetting the other team that played in the Final Four for the men? On Sunday, you had the women's Final Four, the championship game on the fourth. On the fifth, you had Gonzaga and Baylor. And, well, we all remember how that went. And then the sixth, the seventh, Masters prep. Master build-up, lead-up to what we're going to watch on the eighth. We had DeChambeau out there taking practice swings right in front of VJ Singh. And, man, it sure like DeChambeau was going to hurt his back. I hurt my back while watching him swing the golf club. But, man, let me tell you, that felt normal. And then all of a sudden on the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th, we had golf. We had the Masters. We had a lot of something that was normal during its normal scheduled time of year going on. We heard Jim Nance do the Final Four of the NCAA tournament and call some games in the Big Ten Conference tournament as well. And then on Thursday, this is where the normalcy, and I've tried to avoid using that word, but it comes in right here. When I hear Vern Lundquist, Uncle Vern, on TV, everything is normal. Everything is good. If I hear Uncle Vern on TV and I look outside and it's sunny outside, I got a pond in the back and I can see the sun reflection off of the water. Hey, y'all, things are looking good. When I get Jim Nance on the TV, now I'm watching ESPN at this time, but these two guys are navigating and calling the Masters. Things seem good. They seem normal. We had the Texas Rangers in their season opener during this same time period. Had a sold-out stadium. I believe it was 38,000 people where they're in Globe Life Field there. And I believe it's in Dallas, Texas. Maybe Austin. Forget exactly the correct city. You know, you say Dallas, but it's not really Dallas. So whatever it is. But you get them there in Globe Life Field. That looked normal. That sounded normal. And I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Your boy might be in a sold-out stadium arena very, very soon. He's got to find tickets to a place that's sold out. I'm not going to force the issue, but if there's something in my area where things are sold out and I want to go, sign me up, because I'm going to try to go to that, because I have, y'all don't understand. I do, because y'all sports fans do. I have missed being in sold-out arenas. And then what else happened? You had Uncle Vern. You had Jim Nance. We had the transition from the NCAA tournament all the way down to the Masters in college baseball. College baseball. I am not the biggest baseball fan, but right now when I've been so thirsty for sports, for live sports with fans at them, not the artificial stuff that we have had to hear for so long, I'm here for it. I know an Ole Miss game had a lot of fans look sold out there. There's some other games down south that were sold out as well. This feels normal. You go to work, you come home, you watch sports. You go to work, you come home, you watch sports. You go outside, enjoy the weather, come back inside, watch sports. And when you see fans spread out everywhere, it's nice. Oh, you want to know something else? I'll close out with this. So on Sunday afternoon, I was watching Ohio State versus Michigan in baseball. It was on ESPN3. Wanted to catch a little bit of the game to see if it was going to be something I was going to talk about on Monday's episode of Locked On Buckeyes. I did not. The one thing I loved, ESPN3 did not pump in fake crowd noise. They let the fans that were there, I believe it was all family and friends of the players and coaches, or family, that is, family of the players and coaches. And I also believe that you heard, I know I heard, the players getting loud, the players cheering, and the chatter from the dugout. Man, let me tell you guys, this feels normal. For so long, myself and I'm sure you have been longing for the feeling of something feeling normal in sports. The sequence of going from the NCAA tournament to the Masters, these baseball games, seeing fans out there all over the place. WrestleMania had plenty of fans there as well. And then the chatter from the dugouts and these baseball and softball games. Guys, this surely feels normal. And I surely hope you guys are able to get back to normal just like myself very, very soon. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. It's a great way for people that are searching for a new podcast to listen to, to come across this one. Then remember to always get the word out about the podcast via word of mouth. The things that we enjoy in life, we are almost willing and somewhat wired to tell other people about. So no matter if this was your first episode or if you have been listening since episode number one, be sure to let people know about the podcast. This has been episode 189 of the Jason Williams Podcast. I will see you next time.